Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." We move forward to verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, or you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you cannot do what you want. You want to do good, but you don't, because you can't. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we walk in the Spirit, are you discovering more and more about this business of walking in the Spirit, and how when we walk in the Spirit, things change. They change, like right before our very eyes. But we also tend to walk not according to the Spirit. We just kind of wing it on our own. We are very, very practiced, aren't we, at just going it on our own? Don't bother me. Come on. I know what I'm doing. Fortunately, we don't hear laughter from from heaven. Maybe we don't even hear laughter from the people who live around us, who are close to us. I asked the question in today's notes, if you take those out, if you look at these. You know, it says right at the very beginning, what's troubling you these days? I wonder, what kind of things would those be? The things that trouble us are the anger, the divisions between people, right? Does that trouble you? Of course, it should. Sometimes the things that trouble us are things that go on inside of our own homes or inside of our own family systems as people don't get along, and that troubles us. It troubles us when people lie or when people betray us. It kind of disturbs my peace. I think I'm so loyal. I think I am just like almost perfectly loyal. Yeah. I'm not, thank you if you're not standing up and denying that. But when people aren't loyal to me, that really troubles me. Betrayal. A knife in the back betrays the betrayal of us, even from those who we think should be loving us and standing by us. It hurts, doesn't it? Maybe critical comments that disturbs our peace. Abuse and racism. And all the answers that the world offers, so many offers of dealing with these problems of life, the way it's done, and the way, just the foolishness of the way things are done, that disturbs our peace. Wars are started. People are divided into tribes. It's kind of like self-inflicted wounds, where there should be harmony. Now all of a sudden, we might be taught in the culture around us that we ought not to trust those people, whoever those people are, and that troubles me, and it troubles a lot of people in this world. Promises broken trouble us. the promises of science and the politics of science sometimes and oftentimes trouble us. You know, as we walk in the Spirit, though, God continues to remind us that there can be peace. You know, we are told by Jesus that we need to pursue peace. The epistles say that we need to pursue peace, but Jesus pronounced this amazing blessing over peace when he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And then we're all probably presented with the question, is that me? Am I a peacemaker? Do we dare say, Lord, feel free to put your finger on where I'm not a peacemaker? Please feel free, Lord. Do you dare to do this? Feel free, Lord, to put your finger on it where I'm dropping the ball, and there's a lot of turmoil that follows in the wake behind me. Pursue peace. I want you to turn, you've got your hand hopefully in your Bible there at Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. As you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 3, remember this, that Jesus told his disciples, he said, they're coming after you guys. They've come after me. You're going to see this played out in your life tonight. He said, you know, as I'm betrayed, as I am abandoned by some of you, you're going to see this turmoil that follows me. But if they come after me, in John chapter 16, he said, they're coming after you too. It was in that night that Peter proclaimed, he said, Lord, I'm going to stand for you. The rest of these guys, they can go ahead and abandon you, but not me. And that night, Peter saw that he realized it was him that abandoned Jesus when he promised he never would. It was Peter, along with the rest of the disciples, that would discover what it meant to be persecuted for their faith in Christ. Just like Jesus said it would be. And he wasn't just referring to them. He said, make sure you pass this message on to all the people that follow you, because, you know, I like peace and I want you to pursue peace. But I also came, and these are tough words, in Matthew chapter 10, he says, I came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword to your family, to bring division inside of your family, because some of you will turn to Christ in your neighborhood, on the job, in that family that has known and loved you, but because you've trusted me, there will be division. And some people will know what it's like to be excommunicated from their families. But God tells us to pursue peace. So Peter, that one that said he wasn't going to be a problem to Jesus, in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is talking to people who were already experiencing persecution. They were. And probably some of the people that he was writing to a people where some of them, the people in their family or in their church, had already experienced persecution to the point of death. But so Peter, in the midst of all of, in this amazing little letter, he says in verse 8, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. It would be a good synonym for the word peace. See, just live in harmony with each other. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Well, this would be good for peace. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult. We stop right there. don't repay evil with evil. I used to teach classes on parenting adolescents. We talked about how during adolescence, you're supposed to learn. During these years, your teen years, you're supposed to learn. We are all supposed to learn how to go from thinking like a child to thinking like an adult. How does a child handle evil? How does a child, how do they handle when somebody pushes them? What do? They push back, right? They push back. I mean, they push back physically. They push back with words. They say things like, yeah, well, so do you, right? How do you know that so well? Because you watched other people do it. Now as we grow through adolescence, we should be learning what psychologists call formal operations. We should begin kind of when somebody pushes on you, when they say something you can't stand, you just so want to strike back, but instead you stop, maybe, you get just a little bit far enough away from the situation, or you breathe a few times. Somebody told me, just breathe. It's okay, don't get so excited. And you breathe, and you stop and think, I wonder what I contributed to this disagreement here. Yeah, I guess I think a lot of it's on me right now. Thinking like an adult. You start to see maybe you reach some sort of objectivity and you, okay, I guess I'm part of the problem as well. So I need to move on. Verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult for insult, but with blessing. Bless people in a time like that, and not a mocking bless. Oh, bless you. Because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. That'll come from this, as you bless people, as you lift them up, as you encourage them, as you give them a reason to hope that things will be better. For whoever, now, Peter quotes this psalm that he'd learned maybe as a kid. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are watching. They're on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 11, once again, he must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. I wonder, can you think of people that have pursued peace? And how did they do it? I mentioned when I was sitting at the table about our missionary, Tom. I still can hardly imagine this situation, but it really happened. Tom is a missionary to Muslims in many different parts of the world. And he's going to be out here, he and his wife, Barb. These wonderful people they're coming to the end of their official work with World Venture, and we'll get a chance to hear from him and from them in October. But Tom received word that there was a man that was coming to kill him. He was armed, and he was coming to his house, and he was going to kill him in his house because he was promoting, he was teaching about Christ. And people were coming to Christ. And that was dividing families, maybe. And it was a threat in their town, in their city. So as there was a knock on the door, Tom opened the door. And he said to the person that he knew was coming, he said, welcome, friend. Please come in. My wife has prepared a meal for us. What would you have done? Well, Tom and Barb were peacemakers that night. And the man came in. And before the meal was over, he had decided not to carry through with what he planned to do. Was dead set on doing. It's that kind of pursuit of peace. The second thing we want to look at is about peace. We not only are we supposed to pursue peace, even when people are pushing us, even when people are threatening us, even when people are divided inside of their families, and none of this makes sense. They want peace in their home, but there's agony. We're to not only pursue peace, we're also to accept peace. And see, these sorts of things, I said when we walk in the Spirit, we have an attentive ear to listen to what the Spirit would have to say. That night, when this person came to his door, and he was coming to kill Tom, Tom was listening to the Holy Spirit. He was just in fellowship with God. As he was in fellowship with God, he knew that his days were in God's hands. He didn't have to wrestle his days away from God. He didn't have to say, okay, God, I'm taking matters into my own hands right now. He didn't have to do that. He was just listening to God. And he was pursuing peace when this man came to do him harm. When we are walking in the Spirit, we're attentive to where the Spirit wants to take us. Now, the Spirit could have said in that situation, you need to live to fight another day, Tom, so out the back door. Could have, right? Spirit could have listened, but that's not what the Holy Spirit directed him to do. And after the meal, while the man didn't kill him, it was later that man came to a personal relationship with Christ as his Savior, totally contrary to the way he himself was raised. He came to Christ. He was listening to the Spirit. So what's involved as you listen to the Spirit? Well, we find out I need to accept the peace. We need to accept peace. Turn to John chapter 14. John 14. John, this night was just full of all sorts of amazing challenges. Jesus told him not only that someone would be betraying him and Peter would be denying him three times. This very disturbing night. John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, peace. Peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled now. I understand what's going on, but trust God. Trust also in me. Just trust me. Verse 25. Well, I'll just put it in its context. So many things said that night. But verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own words. They belong to the Father who sent me. In other words, we're in this together. All this I have spoken while with you, but the counselor that I've been talking about now, the Holy Spirit, it says this, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom I'm telling you I'm going to send to you, this counselor, the Holy Spirit, who you're to be walking in the Spirit, rather than in the flesh, you're to be listening to him as you walk through life, whatever is going on, in the home, at a game, in the midst of a conflict and a challenge, in the midst of betrayal and whatever. As you go through life, the Holy Spirit's going to be there to teach you and remind you. And it happens, something came back that you learned. And we've said, probably lots of us have said 1,000 times, what was that verse? What was it? Where was it that Jesus said? Well, the Holy Spirit, his job is to even bring that, so that that's why we're saying, where did that come from? He'll teach you and he'll remind you at times like that. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. 27 again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. So don't let your hearts be troubled. What is that? What does the world's peace look like? Have you heard that we've printed so much money? So much money. And they want to print more. More than likely, I'm looking at a bunch of people that cashed in on some of that free money. Wasn't that good? Isn't that good? Wouldn't you like to have more and more? It's kind of addictive. But we've printed already so much money, are going to print more, that the money that we now have, whatever it is not going to be worth as much. Do you believe it? If you just know a little bit about history, I remember hearing about pre-World War II Germany. They were printing money just like crazy. This is a great way out of our huge and worldwide depression. So they printed money. And people were going to work in the morning. And after an hour, they needed money so they could take the money and hand it through to their spouse out through the chain link fence so they could go and buy bread because they couldn't afford it with what they made the next hour. Literally, the money was so worthless. So the answer is, buy gold. I hear somebody all the time who I know is a Christian, but he keeps, one of his sponsors is gold. And he says, buy gold, because that's what the world tells us is, it's the only thing that's going to be worth anything. Well, that's it. But listen, if I can just buy enough gold, I can rest at peace at night, right? I can hedge myself in with gold. Jesus said, not as the world gives this peace. Whatever the answer is, and we come up with all sorts of schemes and answers. If I, this will protect you. You want to live forever? Wear this. Well, at least if you want to live out your normal life expectancy, wear this. You can wear this and be reasonable, and we can wear this and show our love and concern for the people around us versus, I'm not wearing that thing. That doesn't protect me. We can wear this to encourage or maybe to gain access to Target. I don't even know if they're asking you, we wear these now. But Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Accept the peace that I give. Accept the peace that I give as you come to God and realize it wasn't all the religious hoops you jumped through. It wasn't all the promises that you could make to God. It wasn't your loyalty. It wasn't your faithfulness. It was what Jesus did. Having been justified by faith in Christ, we have peace with God, as Jasmine read from Romans 5:1. Accept the peace that he brings. He came to bring us peace. Peace with God, and peace as we live our lives in whatever the circumstances might be. Peace. Accept the peace that he brings. And lastly, pray for peace. Turn with me, please, to do you pray for peace? Pray for peace. Philippians chapter 4. I know some of you have memorized this. You probably memorized it, and maybe many of you have memorized it in multiple versions. Philippians chapter 4. In the midst of all of this, Paul is writing to a really pretty happy church. They really got along well. But all of a sudden, there's this like little wrench that's thrown in for a couple of verses, and that's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche. I don't know if I said the names right, but I said them that way since I was a wee little one, so you can give me a lesson later that I won't care about. Sorry. Hardened heart, okay? I plead with these two women, these two yoke fellow. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, other people there in the congregation, help these women who have contended by my side. They've been fighting the good fight with me, along my side, along with this other person in the church, Clement, and the rest of my fellow yoke workers or fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So he helped these ladies through this time, if in fact it was a couple of ladies. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say this again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness, now I guess maybe he's pointing the finger at those two ladies, or maybe to the whole group. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Don't be, as we talked about from the beginning, don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled about anything. But in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me go on. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, stick with the positive stuff. Think about these things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put them into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Head down this road. Head down this road, really, walking in the Spirit. Head down this road, listening to the Spirit. As you go through life, continue to intend to listen to the Spirit of God. The question would be for all of us, is that how I generally approach life? Or do I just lick my finger and check for which way the wind is coming from? Do I go through life listening? Lord, just speak to me. Throughout this day, speak to me. And as you start your day, as you go through your day, Lord, some of you have heard me give this illustration, but I think of my sweet friend, neat friend, very godly man, Ken. As he worked underneath, as he was sweating pipes, with a torch underneath his cabin. And he was stuck. Let me tell you, he could not have gotten out of there if there was a fire and there were pine needles all around him. He had about this much space. And as he's sweating that pipe that was right alongside of wood joist, he's sweating that pipe. And I heard him say, and he's a fun-loving guy, but he meant it, "Lord, Lord, Lord, just quickly pull." Let me put it in the words. "Lord, just may this resin just quickly seal the pipe off so I can get out of here." It's just listening and speaking with the Spirit as you go through life. I wonder what, as you look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, if you're familiar with this, or if you're not, let me ask you the question: which words in there pop to you? Which words pop today? So you suddenly go, "Oh, that's what I'm missing here." In the midst of all this, this conflict among people in our family, this conflict in people in our church, in everything, we pray. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That would be a good idea to start my prayers out. Thanking God that he's listening. Thanking God that he's actually here right now. Thanking God that he wants there to be peace with us. Thanking God that that he can show us the way. He can actually show us the way through this mess. Thanking God. Those words pop to me. So give your request to God. And when that happens, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. You're never going to fully understand this one, guys. Never. That's what Paul's saying. You can never wrap your mind around what this kind of peace is in the midst of the kind of turmoil that you might be facing right now. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding literally stand guard at your hearts. One of the really words, may it be like a garrison, an armed garrison right all around your heart, so that you say, "I'm not going down that path. I am so ticked off. I am so hurt. I am so bitter. I will never forgive that person. Never. There's no way out of this mess." When we come to him this way, and we come listening, then it's like, God, all these things that we know about him, all these things we've read, all these things that we've memorized, the Holy Spirit uses those things to stand guard against our hearts. And that brings peace. Father, I thank you for your word. You know my disposition and the disposition of my family and my friends. You know the things that we do when we're hurt. We know how we want to push back. We know plenty of things that don't lead to peace. But I pray, Lord, that we would respond to the Spirit of God, who you remind us is not just, the Spirit of God is not some nebulous force. The Spirit of God is in us, actually in us. And he is present in us to remind us that you are the Prince of Peace. And that we can actually experience the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I pray, Father, for each person here. I pray that each one of us would listen to you. I pray that each of us would stop striving for answers that leave you out of the picture. So forgive us and keep reminding us, Lord. Sometimes we get so forgetful. And may our relationships, Lord, be relationships of peace that say to the world that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is for you too. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. And now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to cause us to stand before his presence, blameless and with great joy. To him be the glory, and may our confidence be in the Spirit who is with us. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.